Welcome to this podcast produced by Imagine, your resource for early childhood music therapy. Imagine is produced by Della Vista Publisher and can be found on the web at www.imagine.musictherapy.biz. The title of this podcast is Communications for Music, an accessible tool for parent-child connection, and features Cindy Kraus in an interview with Erin Sheena.
Hello, everyone. My name is Erin Sheena. I am an assistant editor for the Imagine eJournal. Today, I'd like to welcome Cindy Kraus. Thanks so much for joining me today for this Imagine podcast.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm really excited.
So to start us off, can you share a little bit about yourself and your connection to early childhood music therapy?
Yeah, so my name is Cindy Kraus. I'm a board certified music therapist. I work in Kansas City, Missouri at a Head Start, early Head Start Center. So I see kiddos ages 0 to 5 in group settings, as well as individually. And I get to work with their teachers, but also their parents. And I'm on an interdisciplinary team with speech therapists, occupational therapists, and mental health therapists.
Very nice.
So we are in the urban core of Kansas City. So we see a lot of families who have experienced or are experiencing trauma or homelessness, different socioeconomic statuses or struggles, and generally just the underserved neighborhoods of Kansas City.
Wow. So you've got your hands full, huh?
Yes. Yes. It's been a very busy week, even.
Well, I appreciate your time with us today. Why do you think involving parents in music therapy sessions with especially young children is important?
It's cool because we have over 400 children here and I get to see them all at some point in their journey. So in the toddler and infant rooms, there's 8 kiddos in each of those rooms. And then in the preschool rooms, there's 20 kids in each of those rooms. So I get to see all of them at some point in their journey here. However, I'm only in their classroom for 30 minutes, maybe an hour every week for session and then for support outside of session. But then their parents are with them every single day at the beginning of the day, wake up, bringing them to school, picking them up at the end of the day. So they get to really do all of those routines and be with their kids the most. So by involving the parents, I'm not only supporting the children in class with the skills that we're working on, whether it's social, emotional, or developmental, like gross motor, speech, language, but I'm also getting to give skills and tools to the parents that then they can utilize with their kiddos.
Yeah. So in your experience, what are some of the most impactful ways that parents can support their child's music therapy journey that you mentioned?
I think just by being curious, that is something that I've noticed. The kiddos that I have had individually or in a group that have had parents that are curious and really engaged in their journey with music therapy have been the children that I've seen the most success with. So for example, I have a parent who I saw her child, I think 3 years ago, saw him for about a year. He was experiencing just some distress in class and was having a hard time regulating his emotions as a three-year-old does. And now he's in preschool and his mom is also a teacher at the school. And she came up to me the other day and said, "Hey, what was that song that you guys did together all the time that you were bouncing and you were moving side to side?" And I said, "Oh, it's this song," and got to remind her of it. And she said, "Oh, okay. We were trying to sing it the other night." And so it was just cool to hear how big of an impact, you know, music really sticks with us a little bit easier than some other things. I could not tell you the name of a big, long research study and all of the researchers who did it and, you know, how that impacted my practice. I can maybe describe it, but I can sing to you the song that I knew always would calm down this child. So it's cool to me that music is just an accessible tool that we can use as music therapists and as early childhood music educators that then we can support parents with. And it's not a threatening thing. You don't have to be a great singer. I always tell my parents that. And it's something that's fun that they can connect with their kid with.
Yeah, absolutely. So can you share an example of maybe a really memorable moment where parent involvement made a significant difference in a child's progress?
Yeah. So that parent in particular, we were having some struggles just at the beginning. You know, she was kind of feeling resistant to, well, I don't know about using using these tools to help him in calming down. I don't think it's going to work. And so I said, okay, that's okay. We're going to just keep trying at it, and I'll keep supporting you and giving you skills, and you can tell me what works and what doesn't. And then as we continued with sessions, I kind of built that trust, built that relationship, kept checking in with her, and it wasn't always me giving skills, but sometimes it was just me listening to what was going on. Sometimes about the child that I was working with, and sometimes about everything else going on in her life. And so by continuing to be that therapeutic presence for her, then I was able to get a little more buy-in from her. I actually, since she's a teacher at our school too, she got to see me in action with some groups. And so she got to see a little bit more of what we do with music. And I think that really helped things click. And then I led a song with her and the child, and she was like, oh, okay, this, I got it, got it. I see how he lights up when he does this song, or I see how that calms him down. And slowly but surely, she started incorporating it more at home. And yeah, it's great.
Yeah. So it's not just the the journey that the child goes through, but also the journey that the parent goes through in music therapy too.
Yeah, we always talk here at the Head Start, early Head Start Center I'm at, that it's a two-generational model. So we're not only supporting the child in the skills, but we're supporting the parent in the skills too, and being a therapeutic support to them. You know, sometimes they just want to talk and vent, and sometimes it's about music, sometimes it isn't. But I find that being the music therapist, people think of me as the fun guitar lady, which is a really nice in. They hear more of the music part rather than the therapist part. And sometimes that's helpful because people have different experiences with therapy in their lives. And, you know, they might have a stigma on it or might think, well, I don't need therapy. My child doesn't need therapy. But by bringing that music piece, I'm able to kind of get an in, and then we can build the relationship from.
Yeah, the music is what kind of breaks the barrier down.
Yes.
So, what are some challenges that you've encountered with parent engagement in music therapy, and how have you work to overcome them? You mentioned getting maybe some of that parent buy-in, but what are some other challenges that you've encountered?
I think one thing is just how busy parents are. I have a 10-month-old now, and I kind of didn't get it before because I had all the time in the world. And now that I have a baby, I'm like, oh yeah, okay, we go home. I pick him up from daycare. We go home. It's a mad rush to get dinner ready. And then we sit down and eat dinner, and then we do bath, and then it's bedtime. And then I finally have a second to breathe. But sometimes I find myself even rushing through all of that and just like, okay, I love being with you, kid, but also I need a break because I've been dealing with children all day. I've been talking to parents. I've been helping teachers. And so I think that's given me a new level of empathy in the last 10 months of, oh yeah, okay, you guys are really busy. And it's hard to incorporate, you know, these big long interventions into your daily life or your daily practice. But with music, we can just do a little 2-minute song. We can do a verse. We can do a song. And so that's been one challenge that I have heard from parents is, well, that's too much. I don't have time for that. And so my argument there then is, what about in the car? Do you guys have a special song you can listen to? Because also too, some people are like, well, I can't sing. I don't want to sing, or my kid doesn't want to listen to my voice. And I remind them, your voice is actually your child's favorite voice ever, because it was, especially for moms, that was the first one that they heard. And just remind them that it doesn't have to be you singing if you're not comfortable with that yet. Maybe it's a song that you guys really like, or a song that has some movements or some actions that are helping your child develop speech skills or helping them follow directions. So you can really incorporate it into different routines throughout the day.
How do you think cultural values and different traditions might influence the way that families engage with music therapy?
I think it's really important because, again, like I said, that stigma can sometimes be present in different cultures. And I get it. I understand how it can be somewhat threatening, especially if you're involved in any sort of system, really, that has not been made for you. Like for our African American families, I know that the system of welfare and childhood or child daycare assistance and early childhood education hasn't really been built for them. Sometimes it's been from a very white perspective. And so it can be challenging and they can have resistance, or maybe they've worked with a therapist or worked with a professional before who has said some things that are not very culturally competent or aware of their differences. And so I get that. I get the resistance. And I think it's important for us as providers to do our own work and own education. I know this is a podcast recording, but I'm a white cisgender woman. And so to be able to educate myself on the experiences of others allows me to bring in a new level of empathy and just more listening for the people that I'm working with so that we can connect on a human level and so that there's not those barriers of, well, us and them. I'm the professional, I'm the therapist, I know what I'm doing. That doesn't feel good to hear as a parent. So if we can connect on more of a human, deeper level, then I find a lot more success. And just a deeper relationship, not only between me and the parent, but between me and the child and us as a triad and them as a dyad too.
Yeah, absolutely. You've kind of alluded to it a little bit, but what role does collaboration between parents and therapists play in achieving these therapy goals?
I think it's really helpful because sometimes I will think of activities or songs or things to do with a child in session or with even a group in session that maybe the child doesn't respond to super well. And so by getting the parents' involvement and collaboration, I can figure out, okay, well, what kind of music do they listen to at home? Does he like to listen to rap? Does he like to listen to Cocomelon? Is there a show that he or a movie that he really, really likes that song and he responds well to it? Does he try to drum on the table at home? Like just getting a little bit more information from the parents helps lead my sessions and also gives the parents some power and some guidance too, because again, I'm not just supporting the child, I'm supporting the parent too. And I think collaboration is what is going to help so many more children achieve their goals. And it's going to help the parent ultimately too, because it gives them skills and support.
So you've mentioned a couple of things that you experience sometimes with parents who maybe don't want to sing or aren't comfortable singing or are otherwise hesitant to be involved, really actively involved. So what advice or encouragement might you offer to parents who are kind of unsure or hesitant?
I would say try and start with something that you do feel comfortable with. So if you feel cool with having a wooden spoon and a pot and you guys are making up beats together at home, do that. If that's too much for you, then you can practice. I'll give you some egg shakers to take home and you can do those. Those aren't too challenging or too scary. Or honestly, even just starting with, hey, put on a song that your kiddo likes and watch what they do. Respond to them and see what they do. And then it can grow from there. And I just try to encourage them, it's your child listening. Nobody else is listening or judging. And actually, your child loves to hear you sing the most because you're their person and you're their favorite person. And they're going to learn the most from you too.
Looking ahead, what do you see as the future of parent involvement in music therapy? And are there any trends or innovations that you're particularly excited about?
Yeah, so I know I'm not sure how many music therapists there are working in early Head Start or Head Start programs. I know that there are a lot of music therapists who do early childhood music. But what one of my goals and dreams is to bring music therapy to more Head Start centers and just provide more parent education as well as support more, not just in-class groups and things that the child gets when they're here, but also encouraging parents. Again, I know that parents are very, very busy and all, but I also have done groups with parents and their children where I just see the parents light up and I see the kids light up when they have a scarf that they're putting over their mom's face and saying, "Where is my mommy? Peekaboo!" And just playing. And it's cool because I think as adults, we don't make time to play. We don't have time to play. And so it's a cool opportunity for parents to get to just play with their child and also be a kid a little bit themselves to give them some joy and some brightened spirits. So I would love to see music therapy enter more Head Start centers. I really love social media for sharing songs. I know I've gotten a lot of great songs from social media, and I think it's just a really helpful way, like a quick, 15-second reel of someone sharing a song and an activity that they do with their baby or with their preschooler can be really helpful for parents and is really accessible because almost everybody has social media. And I think too, just seeing more music therapists get out there and share about the field, share about how it helps with children with early childhood development. Yeah, I think there's some really cool things happening in the field, and I love seeing how we're teaming up with different professionals in early childhood.
Yeah, absolutely. Imagine Magazine is also a great resource.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Well, Cindy, thank you so much for your perspective. To kind of close us out today, is there a piece of advice or a message that you'd like to share with our listeners about the power of parent involvement in music therapy?
I would say that piece of play. We were all wired to play from the beginning. We see it with babies of looking at a rattle and just being so in awe. And then with toddlers who are finding anything that makes noise. Even my little 10-month-old last night was shaking a little spice container. So I would just encourage parents to allow themselves to maybe take a breath. And just be present with their child so that they can play, because it will not only impact their child and their development, but it will also impact them and bring them more joy and just more presence in their lives.
Cindy, thank you again. It's been such a great time talking with you. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Erin. I had a great time.
Thank you for listening to this Imagine podcast produced in 2025.